welcome to the Facade Pod. Today we talk with Derek Losey of Steel Encounters. He is their general manager and vice president of their architectural division.
We talked about Derek's background, how he got into the industry. We then talked about Steel Encounters, what they do well, what they take pride in. Then we talked about really how they build their company and the culture and vision that they have, and how they work with others around the industry. And it was just it was a fun podcast.
Hope you're excited to tune in for a good one. Here's Derek. We can dive right into this. I know you're a busy guy, Derek. So obviously.
So I said my qualifier is, I mean, I guess I can't make you make me sound smart, but please don't make me sound stupid. How's that?
Hey, you are on a podcast with the two of us. You are not going to be the dumbest.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be an issue. But yeah, just some background. We're just trying to get to know people in the industry, companies in the industry, and kind of learn from people that are highly thought of, you know, within the glass and glazing world. And so you were the first guy that came to mind. So if you could,
everybody else said
give
no.
Us a little bit of a rundown. Yeah, just give us a little rundown of who you are and what your background is, and then you can get into a little bit of who Steel Encounters is as well. That'd be great.
Sure. Well, I think I don't know how you're going to do the introduction, but I'm Derek Losey, and I'm currently the general manager, executive vice president of Steel Encounters Architectural Division, and we're in Salt Lake City, Utah. I personally live in Park City and been there in Park City pretty much since I graduated high school. So it's a long time ago.
Yeah, lifelong Salt Lake guy.
Yeah. I do come from the area, and started in the business really when I was still in high school in 1985. I worked at a small full service glass shop as kind of the floor sweeper, delivery guy, you know, the stupid side of the muscles. And eventually got into doing like putty hackouts and auto glass, and finally became the general manager there. I was there for about 7 years, and decided that I wanted to start a rep firm and be a really cool sales guy. So I ended out starting a rep firm, and it was funny, as I was thinking about that for this interview, a bunch of the companies I used to rep no longer exist. Some of them were institutions clear back from the 1920s, like Summer and Macca. I rep Summer and Macca for a lot of years, and they're gone. And Bay Mirror, or Grandview Glass, Custom Windows, all those guys are gone now. But you know, in that time, I was a rep for 13 years and developed a lot of relationships that we still have here that we keep at Steel Encounters, like W&W Glass, Dawson Doors, EFCO. And so those were all some of the companies that I repped in that business.
Yeah, those were all, relationships to keep. For you. When you were, when you were applying in high school, was there a Wendy's application and a Walmart application and a glass shop application, or how did you get
My mom's boyfriend owned a glass shop.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I just, you get in and you never get out.
Yep. I've heard that before.
Yeah. Cause I think everybody that we talk to, there's some connection with somebody, convinced them to get pulled into it. And then they just never leave. Like, you know, for myself, Seth Madol at Viracon, he was my high school basketball coach. And when I graduated college, he just had stayed in touch, and he was like, "Hey, why don't you come in for an interview?" And then I never left. And then, Cryer and I went to school together, and he was like, "What are you doing?" "Oh yeah, I might like that." And then I brought him in, and he's never left, and it's just,
yeah,
there's these little connections everywhere. Yeah.
No, that's cool.
So then how did you get connected with Steel?
So when I was an independent rep, they were one of my customers. And, for many years, I came in here, and, for about 5 years straight, Ira Field, who, used to be the manager and president of the company. I think he hit me up every single time about coming to work here. And and he hit me in a weak moment one day and looked at me and said, "Hey, you know, I'm not going to be here forever." And I said, "Now we can talk." Right. So,
yeah. So it just ended up being the right time where you wanted to come in and have an office and be a little more secure.
Yeah. I think the opportunity was good actually. And knowing that there was succession planning underway that I could be a part of, that was what was appealing to me. And it's also sort of a philosophy I'm trying to promote with our people is not just, you know, we're not just looking for a job, but you're looking for an opportunity to be part of something.
Right.
Yeah. And you just not too long ago took over your current role, right? What were you?
Yeah. Beginning of 2020, which of course, you know, what a great time of opportunity for, to be in charge, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah, that was me too. You know, I moved out to the East Coast, basically January of 2020. So getting in and meeting a whole new group of people. I had a month where I met, a good amount of people, and then everything shut down. And so you figure out little things like this, and there's opportunities for sure that you can do. They're virtual, but it's not the same as meeting face to face. So
yeah, I agree.
What are you going to do?
You're currently here as the general manager, is that just other duties as assigned every single day, or what is the day to day? What are you mostly handling?
mostly I would say that, really teaching people how to communicate. I mean, that's probably the biggest challenge we have, right? Is communication, especially right now where we're not doing a lot of face-to-face meeting. Working with people on communicating and contract negotiation. And then always, I come from the sales side of the world. I'm always looking for that next good project. I mean,
for sure.
I do still spend quite a bit of time looking at and nurturing new work along.
Gotcha. No, I mean, that's, based on my interactions with you, for the listeners, I was the rep out in Salt Lake City for three and a half years. So got to work with Derek, and yeah, that communication piece, is something that I think you guys are particularly good at. And then that sales development side. And obviously you were a big part of that. I mean, just diving into a little bit of what Steel Encounters does, or how Steel Encounters, separates themselves. Can you tell us a little bit about, what you guys do overall, and then, what you think you're particularly good at? That's a broad 10 question.
That's left. Really nice. Thanks, Matt. That'll make it easy. One of the things that we seem to end out with a lot of is messy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So things that take lots of upfront work, strong planning, and dealing with big time horizons. So we end out with lots of messy things. We've been real successful because, we look really long term. And to give you guys a little plug, right, for Viracon, I remember many years ago, and now I'm gonna hit you, but then I'm gonna plug you. So yeah. many years ago, Viracon's lead time shot way out and just kind of in rapid form. And one of the things that we do is provide a lot of vision for our vendors, and keep you guys informed what we're doing. And our customers came back to us and were just absolutely terrified that things were going to go bad because they heard Viracon's lead times were horrible and we've got Viracon glass. And they say, "Hey man, we got it managed. We're good. We've got good relationships, and we plan way out. It's not like we were waiting for the 6-week lead time to start the day we notified Viracon about the job."
So I'm curious, do you guys, when you're operating jobs, do you have one person run the job from beginning to end, or do you have an estimator then who's passing over to a project manager to take over?
Yeah, we have an estimator who starts the job and gets it to a certain point. We also have a pre-construction design team if we're doing any detailing or design work up front that gets engaged at the estimation time. And so they'll take it pretty far down the road, up to contract pretty much. And then the estimator stays involved for quite a while. So that we do have a project management team we hand it off to after that. And so we do compartmentalize the work from department to department.
Okay.
I think that I would kind of totally concur. I think one of the best parts of our relationship was just the open communication, kind of like you were touching on, with just having some discussions about, you know, projects that are on the horizon, whether that's what I'm working on or what you guys are working on. And like you said, I think there's a big benefit to be played when you're not just saying, here's a job we're quoting. It's the first time you've ever seen it. We need this quote back by Friday. We're placing a PO tomorrow. You know, like right. that, you know, that vision and open communication from beginning to end, from project conception to, you know, execution is, I mean, super special.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I mean, it's one of the things that helps us be successful. So,
yeah.
You know, well, because especially now you guys in the Salt Lake City area, that's growing so much. You're just going to get more complex and complicated jobs and bigger jobs as the area continues to grow. So you have to be able to manage those.
Right. Right.
Unless all the water's gone. That's the only,
which is, it's really damn close at the moment.
Yeah. I was going to say, have you gotten any rain yet this summer?
We got a little bit last night, you know, almost enough to maybe make the grass new it got here. So,
yeah. Gotcha. Well, the other thing I know that I wanted to touch on a little bit is just kind of the culture that you guys have at Steel Encounters. Like, it just seems like a place where everybody, you know, the culture is just do things the right way, whether or not that's, you know, going to affect the bottom line. What is the right decision?
I think you hit it, Matt. I mean, it's really, it's something that we focus on, and in our culture statement, you know, one of the main bold points of it is, you know, we're always empowered to do the right thing. And, mm-hmm. and it's really important, and it's developed over a long period of time, and it goes to the lowest level here. So, mm-hmm. I know that I was in the field yesterday at a big site that we were working on, and just knowing these guys, you know, every once in a while they hit you up, hey, you know, we were looking at that, we should do this, right? And you say, yeah, you do what's right. You do the quality thing, and you know, no shortcuts. And these guys feel it, right? They know that I'm not pressuring them, or the company, or our culture is not to pressure somebody into something they're uncomfortable doing. And so we want to make sure they're empowered, they have the tools, and they have the support to go out and really honestly do the right thing.
Yeah, I got you. And I think just the fact alone, you hit on a little thing there, that you actually have a culture statement, you know, that alone shows that there's been thought, time, and energy put into actually, you know, having something official.
Don't make me recite it.
I was going to say, is that the Pledge of Allegiance at Steel Encounters every morning or no?
Yeah, we stand up out in front by the flagpole.
Gotcha. Well, and
because you guys, go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, you guys have like, 7 pillar philosophy, correct?
Six.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, that was close. Yeah.
But yeah, and it all stems from what we would call our vision, and our vision is building successful partners and employee owners. And I didn't have to look on that one, Matt. So I can say that one. And the you know, successful employee owners to us, you know, it's really important all the way through our company, quite honestly, that, you know, we're an ESOP company. And so all of our employees are owners, you know, that's our ownership makeup. And we feel like, you know, we provide a lot of support and benefit. And we feel like if our employees are more successful in all the aspects of their life, you know, personal, financial, social, if they're more successful in all those areas, they're going to be able to come to work and apply themselves better. And mm-hmm. so it's been one of the goals, and I got to give Tom Jackson a ton of credit for this, that, you know, he wants every person, whoever works at touch, stealing counters to be better off for it, right?
Sure.
He wants them to be better financially, technically, emotionally, and physical health. And so we have wellness programs. We have, you know, an employee assistance program. And a little side note is about four or five years ago, we started an apprenticeship program to develop our people. And part of that apprenticeship program is a 3-year program. And we spend a full semester on personal well-being, finance, relationship, working on your relationships. So that was a part of that program in the apprenticeship program. And we've since turned it over, formed the Utah Glass Association with other companies in town. We've since turned it over to the Glass Association to administer, but it's been a really good, successful program.
Yeah. I think that, cool. You know, that is one thing that really struck me with you guys. And I know from a younger generation of people, everyone's always looking for where's the ladder or how do I better myself within a job, right? You're not just there to do some, you know, hourly job, and having something like your apprenticeship or having these other means for people to better themselves is truly one of a kind. There's not program. Every company doesn't have programs like that, but you can see the results that you guys have fostered just by maintaining your workforce and just helping people be better all around.
Yeah.
Your attainment has to be awesome.
You know, it's good. Not everybody always loves it, right? And so, sure. And some people are always searching for greener pastures, but in general, we've got a lot of people with 20 plus years tenure here. So, I think our core group is very solid and we do have good success that way. We have people in the field. We have four men in the field, been here since the 90s. So,
yeah, that's cool. Gotcha. Yeah, no, and you touched a little bit on Tom, and obviously Tom was instrumental in the whole growth of Steel Encounters from the get-go. And I was just curious, you know, the whole leadership strategy that I know Tom implemented, people at Vire kind of have nothing but raves reviews, and how he's instilled some of these thoughts and ideologies in the company. I mean, I'm assuming that he was somewhat of a mentor to you as you were coming through. And, you know, I wonder if he has affected your leadership strategy in one way or another.
Yeah, I actually, it's interesting. Tom, like I say, he's really focused in on the progression of people in the company. And, and a lot of that do the right thing comes right from Tom. So, our relationship is really cool because he was in my position for many years and, now he's the CEO of the company. But we have very complementary, personalities. So he's a really super intense guy and I'm more of a kind of a goof, casual guy. Right. So, we sort of tune each other up every once in a while and I modify my intensity and I modify his intensity. And it's a great relationship though.
Gotcha. And I know, you know, we talked about the apprenticeship, a little bit about you guys' ideology. I know you're also involved in some peer groups to kind of foster communication and just curious what your thoughts are on working with other Glazers to see what everyone, you know, how they're doing.
Well, I mean, this is a really difficult business to be in.
Yep.
And so anything you can learn, anytime you can help improve the industry in general. Mm-hmm. It was funny. One of the guys here in the office, Ben Hyatt, said the other day that 25 years ago, someone told him, he said, you know, the problem with Glazers in Utah, they don't have any money. You know, they don't have a long-term plan. They don't have any progression planned out and he was right, you know, and so it's a really hard business. One of our goals is to, again, forming the Utah Glass Association, along with others, to improve the industry in general. And a few years ago, we were invited, by some other glass companies to become part of a peer group. And So there's six of us across the U.S. now. We're all kind of in non-competing zones, and we get together and try to help each other, you know, understand our contracts and our insurance and new technologies and what's going on out in the U.S. and in the world. So, you know, we meet a couple times a year. We just had the whole group out here in May, probably 20 people from these other five companies showed up, and, you know, we let them through our facilities, and they give us comments and feedback about, you know, good or bad or where you guys can improve. So, you know, we welcome that. We want our industry to improve, and we want our industry to be, you know, respected. I think we're kind of in the construction world, you know, we have a really big responsibility on the building, but I'm not sure there's the appropriate awareness by the owner and the developer, the general contractor that says, hey, these guys are important to bring in. You know, it's always the mechanical and electrical guys come in early, but we're trying to do our best to change that and bring awareness to the construction industry that says, hey, you know, you got to get this envelope figured out sooner mm-hmm. than you do, because, you know, that's one of the things that's causing you problems in your buildings.
Yep. Absolutely. So
I'm curious, is there, and if you don't want to answer it, it's fine, but is there one thing either that you have pulled from that peer group that you've implemented at Steel, or is there one thing that, you know, somebody else pulled from Steel and implemented into theirs?
I think it's interesting because we all have really different strengths. Some of us do. And so, you know, one of the things that has been a really well organized and focus for us for many years is our contracts and our insurance and our bonding and how we handle that and our safety. So we've been able to really share a lot of that information with our peers. And I think a lot of our peers are better at us than at the actual production within the fabrication facilities. And so we've learned a tremendous amount from our peers just going through their production facilities and saying, wow, why aren't we doing this? So we've picked up a lot of, you know, nothing that's like earth shattering totally, but a lot of little things that we see each other doing that we're able to share and improve our own businesses.
Right. Sure. I mean, that's truly what we're trying to do, even just with this podcast, is just develop a little bit of a peer group, learn from people who have come before us, whether that's, you know, specific about the glass industry, or it's just, hey, you know, you're successful at what you do. What makes you successful? You know, why reinvent the wheel when, you know, people have come before you and had those experiences already. So no, I think that peer group is very cool.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I was curious about, you know, like as Matt and I are doing this, we're learning things from you guys, right? So we're almost like, you guys are almost like mentors to us, but are you actively a mentor to anybody else in the industry right now? Or you don't have to name the people, but are you guys doing that actively?
I don't know that it's a formal, sitting where I am, we have several people that I work with and we meet on a weekly basis and go through, you know, their goals, their achievements, their shortcomings, what's going on and how we can provide better support. So, you know, several people I meet with every week in those kinds of meetings and I wouldn't call it, you know, our formal mentorship, but
that kind of stuff is so cool to hear. Cause I think it's really useful and important. It's a tough industry to figure out and get into. And the more help young people have to get into it, I think the less intimidating it is. That's cool.
Yeah. And you know, and there's really not a great training program, especially for the office work. Right. You know, we have apprenticeship programs for fabrication and field, and, you know, we have unions that have other training programs for some of the field workers. But when it comes to the office, it's complicated work and it's highly detailed, and there is a lot to it. And there's a lot to managing schedules and planning to do these projects. And so you're right, Mitch. It's difficult, and anything we can do to help share our experience with people coming into the business, or even people that have been in the business, you know, just sharing that information around and learning from past experiences is one of the things we're really focusing on.
Sure. Well, as we kind of wrap up here, you know, we've been asking everybody that we've had on, just if there was one thing that you would want to share with young people in the industry, or if there was one lasting impression that you, what would that be?
I think we started with it actually, which was, you know, be careful. Once you're in, you can't get out.
Yeah.
No, I
just enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, really, we really do. When you look at what we do as a construction subcontractor, we get to do really some of the coolest stuff that there is in construction, mm-hmm. right? It's really hard. It's really difficult. You know, the relationships and the end product are really rewarding.
Yep, absolutely. You can sell long. Paper, but you don't get to drive by the paper on the freeway and look at the nice glass facade, right?
That's right. You know, or even the concrete, you know, but but it really is just like anything, you know, it's tough. I know people are really mobile right now, but going long and staying in it for the long haul, I think it's a rewarding business, and you know, it's somewhere you can make a career.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, anything else, Mitchell, you got anything, any other final questions?
No, that was great. It was good hearing you talk, Derek, and good meeting you, and you know, best wishes, best of luck moving forward, man.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into another episode. And a huge thank you to Derek Losey for giving us his time and insight into the industry. Steel Encounters is just one of those companies out there that does things the right way. And I'll never get tired of hearing that, especially when it comes to how they treat their employees. Reach out to us with any feedback or comments on this episode. Tell your friends and coworkers to give us a listen. And we'll see you back next Wednesday with another pod. Be good.